Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we talk about wills and trusts and Medicaid planning, and we answer your questions. It is a call-in show at 518-476-5900. Well, I want to thank you, John, for the beautiful weather again.
Don't thank me, but I guess I'll take the thanks. Sure, why not? Oh, yeah, beautiful today, 83, 81 tomorrow.
Wow.
I'm sorry, 80 today, 83 tomorrow.
Okay.
I beg your pardon. Good day for the Alzheimer's walk.
Yes.
I was going to say.
Kim and I are going to be at the walk shortly. I was going to say a little bit later, but very shortly.
Not much later.
That's right. And today the walk is at Mohawk Harbor of Schenectady.
Right.
And it starts at 10 o'clock. And we will be there. Come by and visit. We have a table.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's not forget the walk is also to raise money for Alzheimer's research.
Yeah.
And if you want to donate to our team, you can go. Is it there? I think there's a link on our website.
As you're saying, just go to our website.
Go to our website and you can
go right there and you know, support our team and our efforts and and all those that we work with and we help along the way.
And a beautiful day for it, so get on out there.
That's right. It's so hot that our special giveaway is, wait for it.
That's right.
Mini fans.
Oh, mini fans.
Mini fans. Yeah. So if you're getting a little hot at the walk, come to our table. We have little fans for you.
That's right. We have little handheld.
It'll keep you cool.
Like power fans, not the ones that you wave yourselves.
Right.
Like the batteries. That's right.
That's great.
So it's a good one.
So it should be good. 10 o'clock this morning.
That's right. And this is the first of many. We have more coming up. We have the Albany one, the Adirondack one, and the one over in Rensselaer.
So. Right, so we have the weekend off next weekend, right? Because it's Indigenous Peoples Week weekend,
the
holiday. And then the following weekend we have two. So we have Saturday the 18th is Queensberry. That one also starts at 10 the following day at Joe Bruno Stadium in Troy. And that one starts a little bit later at 11. And then the following weekend, the 25th, I think that's the Saturday, is at Siena.
That's right.
So that a full month of Alzheimer's and walks.
And we'll hope for good weather for all of them.
Yeah. And then we're doing a couple of like special things. Like we just had the food truck, last Friday?
Yes, last Friday.
Ooh, the food truck.
Yeah, we have, so we have food truck Fridays going on at in our parking lot, in our
our main office,
at 7 Southwoods Boulevard.
Yeah. And what do you do with the food truck? Is that a how does that work? I mean, you buy something from the food truck.
Yep.
And what happens?
And they donate a portion of that to the Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So
there you go.
Yeah. So she's actually donating 50% of the proceeds.
Wonderful.
To our team, which is really great. Really awesome.
What's the name of the food truck? Do you know?
Panini Press.
Good. Okay. All right.
And
I want to give them credit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, because you actually
I had one last time.
Yeah.
It was very delicious.
Oh,
I wish we had food trucks there all the time.
I know. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, food trucks are great.
Yeah, they are.
And I don't think a lot of people realize the walks are really great for a lot of reasons, right? So one of the things was we call them the world's largest support group because it's literally several hundreds of people that all come together. And, you know, we have a ceremony that talks about each of the flowers, each of the color flowers that represents different stages of the Alzheimer's journey. You know, we've got the yellow flower for caregiver. We have the orange flower for advocate. We have the blue flower for somebody living with the disease, and then purple if you've lost someone to the disease.
Mm-hmm,
and then
a
few years ago, we introduced a white flower, which is the flower of hope, which you know represents a time when we will be living without this disease because, again, we've made so much progress in research and treatment. And, I mean, now we have actual viable treatments for the disease that treat the disease, not just symptoms of the disease. And one study just came out, a three-year study on one of the infusions that actually shows how it it staves off the progression of the disease for a much longer period of time, which is pretty incredible.
That's good.
That's great. Right. And I think a lot of people don't realize that the Alzheimer's Association is the largest nonprofit funder of research so in the world. Which is pretty incredible. They fund research projects all over the world, and they'll take a little more risk with like smaller research and things like that. So we now have a blood test that can be done for to test the whether or not you have the disease. Which
I read about that. That's great. That's a big step.
It's huge. So there's so many things. And you know, in addition to the walks raising money for that, which research is super important, I don't think people really realize, too, that a large portion of the walk proceeds actually stays local. So we have a chapter here. There are 7 chapters across the state, but we have our local northeastern New York chapter that covers 17 counties, which is a lot. So, you know, Columbia Green all the way up to the Canadian border, out west to Oneonta, Fulton, Montgomery, and Schoharie County. So
that's a large area.
You know, our and so much of it is very rural also, right? So we're very fortunate in New York State to even have extra funding on top of some of the money we raise. But I don't think people really realize, too, that in our chapter we have program managers that cover each of our counties. And those program managers really are responsible for boots on the ground, care consultations, so one-on-one meetings with families to kind of talk to them about what their options are, information referral services, community education, you know, which is something we do a lot of with the Alzheimer's Association. You know, we do a lot of the education programs. I'm actually one of their community educators, so do a lot of you know, we do the legal and financial planning for Alzheimer's, but, you know, some of the programs I do, so I'm, like, doing understanding Alzheimer's and dementia in our Queensbury office on the 20th, I think. I have to look back. We've got so much going on.
October, we're doing a lot of speaking.
So, but I don't think people really realize that, too, right? Like, it's more than just research funding, which is so important, but it's actually providing the boots on the ground services for families and individuals with the disease. So,
yeah, as an attorney, when I'm meeting with someone, you know, who has a family member diagnosed, of course, we want to talk about what legal planning you can do, which I'll get a little bit more into.
Right.
But we always refer them to their local Alzheimer's chapter to get care support groups and information and education.
And
that's really helpful for these individuals because sometimes they think they're alone and they have no one to talk to, and this is a good support for them.
100% and we have a beautiful day to be outside. So.
Yes, we do. That's right.
No excuse.
That's right. It's even more the reason, and it doesn't cost anything to come.
No,
like you know, a lot of times you have to pay a registration fee, but the walk is 100% free, so you can just come and hang out and see what it's all about.
Wonderful.
There'll be lots of vendors that are their sponsors, probably giving lots of other cool things away too. In
Getting
addition to your little handheld fans,
I think our fans are going to be the best today because it's going to be very hot. So.
That's fantastic.
Right.
So again, a reminder, you can call in and ask questions, 518-476-5900. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you're thinking. And
right, and it doesn't have to be Alzheimer's related.
It does not.
We're just focusing on that today. But, you know, we can answer any questions you have. If you have a trust or if you have a probate question, you know, we do all of that.
Yeah, long-term care planning, any of that kind of fun stuff.
So I mentioned that when we do our education with the EASE programs. So we talk about, and this is after you're diagnosed with Alzheimer's, or it could be some other type of long-term illness. What should you do legally, right? What should your planning involve?
Sure.
And, you know, you could be in different situations. You may not have any planning at all, and this was a trigger to get something done. You could have done some planning, and we need to review it because it may need to be changed right now that you've been diagnosed, and we can, and then we're going to talk about, you know, what are we going to do to start from scratch? And I think, you know, we do talk a lot about wills and trusts, but the first thing I would talk about if you're just diagnosed is a power of attorney and a healthcare proxy.
100%.
Right. And those are so important. And can you, you know, in talking with people, can you just talk a little bit about why that's so important to have people have that?
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting because when we talk about healthcare proxy and power of attorney, there are a lot of misnomers about it, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of misinformation. And a lot of times people think, oh, if I have a healthcare proxy, they're going to be able to call and talk to my doctor. Mm-hmm. And so one of the first things that I say to folks, like one of the biggest differences, right, between the two documents is a healthcare proxy really is somebody to speak for you in the event that you can't do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Somebody to make decisions for, as long as you have the ability, and even with a moderate stage diagnosis, right? Like even if you're moderate stage Alzheimer's dementia, you still have the wherewithal to kind of understand and know what you want for yourself. Mm-hmm. Healthcare proxy really is only somebody to kind of speak for you when you no longer have the capacity to do that.
Right. Yeah.
And it's, in my opinion, one of the most important documents because it keeps the alignment of what you want for yourself continuing on.
That's right.
So even like once you do a healthcare proxy, you know, you're talking about what kinds of treatments you want or don't want, what, you know, maybe you want a trial period of something. I talk to families. It's really important to get into the weeds of things because, you know, say you're going in for surgery and there's, you know, an inconsequential event that happens at the same time. So you're going in for a knee replacement, let's say, and maybe you have a stroke or you have a heart attack. Like it's really important for families to understand, would you want to be resuscitated? And if you are resuscitated, how long should it go?
Right.
If you know, if there's no hope or if there's a little bit of hope, like,
right.
So really important to have those very specific conversations. And even more so when you're diagnosed with a disease like Alzheimer's or dementia, looking into the future, right? At the point that I can no longer speak to for myself, these are sort of the lines that I'm drawing in the sand that I view as quality of life issues.
Right.
And that can...
To get education about what may be coming.
Right.
So you can make decisions about that.
Yeah. Right.
And what you're saying is so true. I say the healthcare proxy is really just appointing the person that you want.
Right.
It can't outline every possibility that would come up.
Sure.
So you have to continually talk to that person to tell them what you would want done.
Right.
And that's not necessarily in the legal document, but you know, when you talk to that person, they know what you want.
You're needing to translate that.
Yeah, they can go advocate for you.
Correct.
Right. And it's important to do that, you know, now while you still have the capacity to pick that person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, all, frequently, and it happened this week, I spoke to someone whose husband, you know, got suddenly ill and can't talk for himself and did not have anything. And the nursing home that he's in, you know, says that we need to do a guardianship for him. And a very, you know, easy, I mean, close family, mother, son, everyone's on board. And even everyone's on board, it's going to cost them $5,000 to $10,000 to do a guardianship proceeding in court.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
Which is just so sad. Had he done that beforehand, you know, we would not be in this position doing that. And also power of attorney, because most married couples have joint accounts, but not everyone. And he had separate accounts, and there's things
so there's that
they can't access financially.
Right, because he doesn't have the ability.
He doesn't have it. Yeah. And the last, he was lucky enough to have a long-term care insurance policy.
Okay.
Oh, well.
But again, what can she
do? Right.
The wife can't talk to them without the power of attorney.
Well, and it's funny because that's actually one of the one of the things that I've been adding when I talk to people. Like, in addition to having just those basic documents, you also need to make sure that if there are other insurance policies or if there are other accounts, that a lot of institutions now are requiring their own authorized representative forms to be filled out, as well as the doctor, right? So again, flashing a healthcare proxy doesn't do anything, only in the event that that person can't speak for themselves, right?
Right.
But if you want to talk, you know, if you want a physician to talk to you about certain things, you need to have that HIPAA form filled out well as the authorized representative form,
right?
So that they will have those conversations. And it delays, if you're trying to do this in a crisis, mm-hmm. it delays much needed information to be able to really plan mm-hmm. and make some arrangements that are really important.
Yes, that's right. And that's really important to have these documents done ahead of time.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back after this break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Kim Hance.
And this is the second half of the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. If you have a question about advanced directives, powers of attorney, healthcare proxies, anything that's on your mind, you can give us a call at 518-476-5900. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, let's say you or a family member gets diagnosed with Alzheimer's or a similar disease, you know, what can you do to prepare legally? And powers of attorney, healthcare proxies, you know, are so important to get those done so that you have someone in charge to make decisions for you when you can't. You know, mm-hmm. and you need to look down the road and kind of anticipate what's happening. And then usually the next thing that we talk about is let's look at finances and, you know, how would you pay for this care? And that's always shocking to people when we start to talk about how much care would cost.
Right.
Right, with nursing homes and, you know, but with, it's usually a progression before you get to a nursing home. And if people are looking ahead at what to expect, what could you tell a family, Kim? Like, they're not going to go straight from home to the nursing home, are they?
No. Right. I mean, that's usually not the normal path, right? And,
right.
And it's even more challenging because, you know, it's not that nursing homes are bad, right?
No.
But most of the time, they're going to take an admission, somebody coming from the hospital, because mm-hmm. they're going to be eligible for rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Medicare pays more for rehab mm-hmm. than even somebody paying privately mm-hmm. to come in
right.
From the community. So that's usually the most favorable or normal path is to come in from a hospitalization. Right. And, you know, Dave and I were even talking, we did a presentation yesterday at Bethlehem Seniors, and we were talking about sort of that Medicare piece.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know, open enrollment starts on October 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And please speak to somebody about your Medicare this year, because there are so many changes coming down the pike for 2026.
Yeah, premiums are going up on the supplemental plan.
Well, and plans are moving out.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right.
I think I've heard that there are like 10 to 12 plans that are just
leaving. Yeah.
And they're not going to be around, and right. how much it's going to affect everybody. Mm-hmm. So,
sure.
John, you're not old enough to have Medicare.
No.
Right?
No. Yes, I do.
That is no way.
Oh,
shocking.
Yes.
Shocking.
But no, you're right. And so the you know, it's not just as easy as going and putting an application in and getting in. And then mm-hmm. if you're needing Medicaid,
yes,
to help pay for the nursing home, mm-hmm. the chances of that are even mm-hmm. less. You know, most of our folks are being told that it's at least a 6 month
mm-hmm.
plus wait period.
And that's a newer development. You know, I think we've seen probably since COVID.
I was going to say really since the pandemic.
Yes, that's right. The wait lists everywhere. Yeah.
Well, we've had a lot of facilities close. You know,
right?
But like just fully close, so there are less beds. Right. Available. And what a lot of people don't understand is there are less male long-term care beds than there are female long-term care beds. And why is that? Because women live longer.
Yeah. That's right.
And what most people don't understand is that beds are certified per male versus female sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, but it is,
that's
right?
How it
so
is.
When we have a facility that says, well, I don't have any male long-term care beds, they're not lying. They're not, you know.
True. Well, if you're sharing a room, right?
Right. Well, right. It is a thing for sure. So the planning that's needed for all of this is really important. And sometimes you may not meet the criteria for nursing home level of care either. We have a client that came to us that wants nursing home for her husband. And in talking with her, I said, I'm really concerned that he's not going to score, because there's an assessment instrument that we use called a PRI screen that has to be done, and you have to meet a nursing home level of care.
Right.
And sure enough, he doesn't.
And that's what's interesting about this disease is you may otherwise be physically healthy.
Okay.
And right. Yeah. And so you're not necessarily suitable for a nursing home.
Yeah, I assume she was asking because she couldn't do it on her own
anymore.
Yes,
she's exhausted.
And she needed
She can't do it on her own and, right? So so there's also a lot of misinformation out there that the nursing home's the only place to go.
Yeah, right.
You know, so
good
we did.
She called you.
Right. And so we did talk about a lot of other options. I mean, I think, you know, she lives in a really rural community where services are going to be hard to tap into. So, you know, we kind of explored some of the other options that could be available. But sometimes it's really tough. And, you know, we're not always, you know, like Dave said yesterday, we're making lemonade, right?
Yes,
we're trying to make lemonade out of lemons. And sometimes there's no best case scenario. It's just the least worst decision that we can, right? And that's hard because
we have to, you know, we often talk about home care, but you have to think about the practicality of getting people
100%
in your home.
Right.
And sometimes it's, we've had this happen where we have clients move to an apartment that's closer to like a city area.
Yep.
Where they can get home health aids in.
Right.
And they'd have to be prepared to
move. Care is a little more accessible and
that's
things like that.
So, yeah, there's lots of options to going into a nursing home that, you know, we can explore with you. But definitely having your foundation of your legal documents in place is going to allow you to explore these different options.
Right.
Right.
And it's interesting, even like, you know, Phil had a consult the other day with somebody and I followed up with him. The nephew, no local family, and Adult Protective has been involved for some time. I mean, for quite a bit of time. And they're feeling, so they have guardianship over the person. He has guardianship over property. And they're in the process of, you know, they've said that she's becoming a little bit too much for them to manage. What's interesting is she is somebody that has some assets, but for some reason at 70 is not drawing Social Security. And apparently he's not sure what her Medicare status is. And I was like, what? So, you know, so that's one of the things that we're going to be looking at. And, you know, what he's going to be looking at me to do as a care manager is to try to like kind of dig through the process and figure out like why did none of this happen, number one, and then like try to, you know, get her onto all the benefits that she's eligible for so that we can then make the most proper plan, because that's what I said, like at this point we can't even, unless we know that, we don't even really know what.
I mean, before we even apply for Medicaid, she needs Medicare for her basic health insurance.
Well, sure, because that's what I asked him. I'm like, who's paying for stuff?
Stuff.
Right. So so there's a lot of detective work sometimes, right, that we're doing.
Right.
And sometimes families will come to us and say, well, we think documents were done, but we're not sure, and we don't know where they are. Or
that happens a lot. I have a client who says he has a will. The family doesn't think so, and he insists on it. And
oh dear.
So I said to the family, we really should just do a new will. You know, even if he has one and he can't find it, you know, let's just do a new one.
Right.
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 Yeah.
It was funny.
There it is. Yeah, see.
He has Medicare.
My Medicare card.
John is showing us his Medicare card because he looked too young to have Medicare. So thank you, very nice.
If you say so, but no.
Gotta
have it.
You guys will love this one. So last night I was at the wine store, and I had my Herzog sweater on, and as I'm walking through, there was a guy who was like, "Hey, I just want to let you know, like, we're doing really good, and we like everything that we did our documents with you guys a few years ago."
Wow, that's great.
And he's like, I was listening. I don't know if he said to a radio show or if he came to one of our programs or something. He was like, "But, you know, I think it is time for us to come in because it's been a while since we," but it was just funny just because I had my sweater on.
Yeah, that is funny.
You know,
yeah.
But he said, I appreciate the reminder that, you know, that it's not a one and done, that you guys want to continue to see us and you want to understand what's going on in our life. And that's so important, right? Because we do like to know our clients and we like to know what's going on. And it's really great just to have check-ins and, you know, and so we always even doing these documents, because it does help us formulate a better plan when we have that relationship and when we know what folks want.
That plan gets fine-tuned along the way. It's not just one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of our clients have a trust and they put their house in the trust when they're younger.
Right.
But they may not put other assets into the trust.
Sure.
And so, and clients will say, "I can add to the trust." You know, they don't know that. Or they think, "Oh, well, you have to, it's another legal document, you know, or I have to come see you." You know? No, you can, I mean, you can come see me, but you just go to the bank to put more assets in the trust.
Right.
And, you know, your life is different at 85 than 65.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You may be getting closer.
Sadly, so different.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Very different. Yeah. Right.
And, you know, we talk about long-term care insurance as well. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people don't realize the importance behind that. You know, we had a whole conversation yesterday and we were talking about it's much easier to get through an elimination period when you're only paying for 20 hours a week versus 24/7, right? Because like you said earlier, Jay Marie, like home care is super expensive. If you're going to hire an agency 24-hour care, you can look to be spending $30,000 a month on home care.
Right.
For 24-hour care.
And, you know, we can get to community Medicaid, but it's not going to happen right away.
Right.
So you have to plan for that waiting period, you know, for community Medicaid. So that's why we kind of need to, like, be in touch with you to see, assets all in the trust? Are you at the point where you think you'll need help 5 months from now, right? Should we apply ahead of time?
Right. And let's talk about what that looks like.
Right. Is home care suitable for you? Is your house set up? And that's where, you know, Kim does a great job of talking to people. You know, I know enough to ask because your bathroom on the first floor, but there's a lot more to it, you know, than that.
Sure.
And looking at your family support, you know, home care is much easier if you have someone nearby to oversee it.
Yeah.
And to fill in when someone can't be there.
Yeah. And it's for some of the programs, it's necessary. Right. So it's understanding all the nuances too. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to one of your clients yesterday, and we were kind of exploring, you know, all the nuances, and they have somebody that they're using that they're paying privately, you know, so normally it would be like, "Oh yeah, that's just consumer direct." But really dad has some cognitive issues. He's got Parkinson's. It's complicated. They live in an area that's hard to serve. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was saying to them, like, if your person is willing to continue, like, we can actually get her vetted through an agency, not just consumer direct, because the hours would be so limited, you know, depending on the program. So it really is exploring all of the options and kind of talking about what the expectations are going to be. So it's not so much, you know, the hours, it's how are we going to fill those hours, and how, you know, what else can we do to the home maybe that will make it so that we don't need a person?
Yes.
So there's lots that go into everything that we do.
Yeah, the planning is important, and it, as we said, it evolves over time, and we like meeting with you to talk about these things.
Right.
And, you know, update you on those. And you can come talk to us today at the walk. And
please come see us.
Yes, that's right. Or if not, one of the other walks coming up this month.
All right, tell them where, once again, quick.
Mohawk Harbor at 10 o'clock.
All right.
Okay, see you there.
Have a great weekend. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.